Krishna. Before I start, I want to affectionately welcome all of you, especially my god brothers, god sisters, but also all of those with whom I know and who know me. I know that many of you have a great desire to speak personally. Please know that today I will speak very personally to you. In the lecture for 2 hours, you will not believe what you hear. So, afterwards you can see if you want to talk to me again. Hare Krishna. Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Nitya Namide. Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pacharine, Nirvishesha Sanyavani. This potency which was given by the Lord to Rupa Goswami, and Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost. So Krishna had appeared to him that this was lost to memory, but Krishna was anxious that this becomes known. knows the name and he goes the name. What a bitch. He knows the name and he goes the name. And I'm a man, he's not a theoretical teacher, he is a practical teacher. To Rupa Goswami and his brother, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave four orders. I've looked at the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are many orders, about seven. I've identified about eight, seven, eight. But they can be grouped in four groups. The first of all, he requested Rupa and Sanatana Swami to revive the lost holy places. Therefore, we can now go and Vrindavan. We know here it is on Yoga Pit where Radha and Krishna daily meet. Goswami has built Govinda Mandir there. Revival of lost holy places. Then the second order, he requested Rupa Goswami to his Sanatan and the other Goswamis to install deities. We will hear how Rupa Goswami did all of this. Then, this is very, very interesting. He requested them to protect the devotees who look for shelter, like if a loop in the garden would come up, would come to the garden. He would go to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami advised him, you need to Madhukari to survive here in some houses of rich Parsis who regularly cook extra rotis. Go there and you will find your maintenance there. Those mommies also they counseled the devotees and they had problems. You know yourself that you have problems in this country. If you know someone who's some people to go to who can help you overcome it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, take care of my devotees who have give them spiritual guidance. Also, give them a place to live and where they can have little good deals. And finally, he asked Rupa, especially Rupa Goswami, to compile the Bhakti Shastras and write Rasa Shastras. Rasa Shastras are scriptures that are full of the ecstatic feelings of love of Godhead, which we need to feel at least in beginning stages to give up the Lala Rasa, our addiction to sense gratification. And a Samaritan sinner which brought that beautifully presented this nectar of devotion. So by making this the law of food for 10,000 years, my God, hopefully we will not be around in this material world any longer at that time. So it's for future generations now. Krishna consciousness is, our Rupa Goswami Spain is very, very, very present in this world. Let us be a little bit more specific. I pray to whom I must call me every day that if you are truth, that this place is truth. What's translated in one of these? If you are in truth there, then please show your face and your grace so that I can feel your grace. Prophet says, yeah, I feel that Rupa Goswami's immortal grace is flowing. And he also said to Rupa Goswami, you should always pray Chaitanya Charita and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and that I will be right with you. My dear devotees, I have in my possession, but I'm going to tell you where I have kept it under the key, an original copy of the typed written first chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't know if he himself typed it deeply. I think so, yes. And we know Prabhupada kept the instruction of Rupa Goswami. See, Chaitanya Charitamrita was, he prepared the early manuscript. Nectar of devotion came out. So there is a very close connection between the two. Let us now, for the end of this part of the lecture, would you like to have a little sneak view into the life of Rupa Goswami? I think it would help us if we would look a little back now in time, 100 years back, 200 years back, not knowing how they were dressed, especially in Germany, you wouldn't believe it. 300 years, 400 years, 500 years. Let's arrive in Puri. There was someone who returned from Vrindavan. The devotees came up to the traveler and asked for news on Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. How did they live? How were they doing? And this is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes this Chaitanya Charitamrita, the answer. So here you have an eyewitness account. A traveler would say, the brothers actually have no fixed residence. They don't stay. They don't have a room in Ramadan retreat. They reside beneath trees. One night, under one tree. And the next night, under another tree. Some dry bread
what do they always do? They always chant the holy names of Krishna and discuss his pastimes. You wouldn't hear any other words coming out of their mouth than the holy name of Krishna the pastime, except for one thing, that is when they counseled, as Saratan was known for this, counseled villagers and helped them to solve their disputes. Yes. Srila Rupa Goswami and Saradhar Goswami had no fixed residence. They stayed beneath a tree for one day only and wrote huge volumes of transcendental literature. They not only wrote books, but they chanted and they danced. They discussed Krishna and remembered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Thus, they executed devotional service. My dear devotees, if there are saints who have a halo, Rupa Goswami is one of these saints, the Phylogens, which is there because they are empowered and guided by the spiritual energy. And remember, that you might say, oh, how far away they are from my life. No, this is an arrow. They have come you and me and everyone to also taste this ecstatic taste in Krishna consciousness, which they want to give to us because this is the only way in which we can be liberated from our attachment to material world. So I will now talk a little bit about the subject matter. I've taken notes. And I will try to make a call to all of you. I will try to reach beyond your mind. I will try to reach your soul and try to make it, first of all, move it, and second of all, make it arise. In spiritual life, especially in spiritual organizations which have so much to give to the world, but there is one difficulty. It is a difficulty which Prabhupada also saw. It, you could call it stagnation or spiritual lethargy, laziness, which comes. And this is because at one stage the devotees revolt against the concept of spiritual advancement. They feel this is fine enough. Because spiritual advancement always has two components. You put Krishna into the center, and this means you serve him. You're presence be made eternally, Krishna. I am too busy in my little world at present, and I have no time for you at the present moment. Lies have many dresses and disguises. How else does spiritual assimilation and lethargy show? Well, my Krishna consciousness may generally become a little bit advanced, become a little removed from tamaguna, when one is just suffering so much, or rajaguna, one is constantly in stress. And we come into a more sattvic life, which manifests in a peaceful family situation, maybe a healthy body. A regular sadhana life, everything is in comfortable boxes, a comfortable economic situation, and a regular income. And we say, I struggled so hard, Maharaj, to get all this together, and now I can practice Krishna consciousness peacefully. Why do you attack this? Practicing Krishna consciousness, how much do you need? How much is your eagerness there to go and finally overcome the offenses so that you can chant properly and so on? Another thing which happens in spiritual associations with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes as riding the waves. You become attached to a position, to an income, to a certain social status. All this, my dear devotees, can be a huge distraction from ecstatic love of Godhead. But by hearing Rupa Goswami, we can be relieved. Because hearing the words of this Paramaishnava, who is really a resident of the spiritual world, causes the heart to melt again. In Yadaras, when you become stagnant and satisfied with present comfortable situation, the heart becomes closed and so on. But Rupa Goswami's composition, especially the Utkalika Valari, is Paradev Vidya Bhushana said, it's the cause of melting the stone of my own rough heart. This work started coming to your mother's home. But before that, we went through the beautiful South African landscape. Do you know what I saw? I saw a procession of native Africans who were dressed in outstanding garments.
I always think that I joined the devotees.
ancestors are wrote down as gifts sent to the family elders. All proof they were for 1 year I lived only on begging from them. And especially I talk about my insignificant life. Read, I have built you a temple, the Jewish story, and read what austerities do. first verse of the Utkalika Balari. This burden of Rupa Goswami was written in the year 1550 in the Christian era, when Rupa Goswami was 61 or 62 years old. It is altogether 71 verses, and it is translated as my keen desires, which take the form of a creeper. The creeper is a plant which grows up a tree, and it has very delicate leaves. So each of the verses could be seen as a leaf in this, when it is desires, what does he want? It was ended, it took time for him to compose it, because Rupa Goswami was also busy in worshipping his deity, Govinda Dev, with forested ornaments. It was before the temple which we now see was built. He fashioned himself of flower decorations for the years, painted the deity, and so on. And he wrote this, those who study his work say it was his swan song. Before the swan dies, he sings one more song. It is very beautiful, apparently. I have not heard the swan song, but I hear it's very beautiful, and so on. In other words, he was fully, in a way you could say, matured, although this is a term which we devotees hesitate to use, because how can Rupa Manjari mature? You know, how can an eternal associate who is in his vastu city, his constitutional position, and who has only in this world a body of a sadhaka, how can he mature? But he brings out a subject he has never brought out before. He himself says that he cannot contain what is in his heart any longer. He has not revealed it to the world, but he says, I have taken shelter in Vrindavan. I'm alone, all by myself. My heart is filled with longing. As I'm writing this, I'm in the middle of Vrindavan forest, and I'm loudly shouting because of a pain in my heart. Now I will reveal the many scars that the blazing hot tears have impressed on my heart. Baladev said this, Baladev makes it, Vidyabhushana writes a commentary, he says, one person is alone, it's me, my heart is filled with longing. Utkalikakula. I have attained the middle of Vrindavan, I'm in the center of Vrindavan. I'm loudly explaining in pain, and I will reveal now the heap of scars from the blazing tears that are impressed there. Now, when I prepared this lecture, I saw in my mind 90% of my audience getting up and going to the Govardhan Retreat Center and saying, do you have some prasadam or some soft drink, please? This is too much. So therefore, I want to no one has gotten up, so, but maybe in your mind you're thinking, what is this? How is this? Shouting in pain. the slogan. My dear devotees, there are tears which we yet have to discover. It is the tears of ecstatic love of Godhead. And this is so blissful that you forget any material miseries instantaneously. He speaks about these tears. He doesn't speak about tears that need to be treated by the psychologist or self-help group or whatever. No, he speaks about ecstasy, something that melts the heart and captures the heart so entirely with sweetness. Did you hear this word? Madhur, it's so madhur, sweetness. Therefore, Baladev Vidyabhushana says, this state is certainly the highest attainment for the devotee and bestows the goal of life. It's something nice. Don't be deceived by the language. No, it is not the tears which you have here when you don't get something. Because when a beggar, this is Baladev Vidyabhushana, is before the palace of the queen, and he really cries, will the queen not come out and bestow the highest fortune to the beggar? So, the effect of, let us go a little bit now into the subject matter. He has taken shelter. This is his consciousness. He feels, Radharani, I'm only belonging to you. I'm your lost servant. I miss you. This will become very clear in the verses as we proceed. He feels some longing, some eagerness. In order to satisfy this eagerness, he has taken shelter in the forest of Vrindavan. There is an amazing effect of practicing Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan that is hard to get at other places. When you are in the forest of Vrindavan, you know Krishna is real. Have you noticed that when you hear this, it's all true? Because this is what Vrindavan, this Taleti, especially this dust, bestows. It is freeing you from material entangling thoughts. And it gives you attachment to Krishna. And then Krishna is real. You might say, Maharaj, this is, how you say material entangling thoughts? I have dreamt this night about the Western preparation which I cannot get here. And this, the habitual movement of the of your synapses, you know, of the mental functions. When you are really agreeing to the Vrindavan experience, you will see it takes some, and it does something. And what he, and another element which is here, this is more an element for us, Rupa, because we have also taken shelter of Vrindavan. And the element which is here is Rupa Goswami describes and opens the content of his heart for us, my dear devotees. This is called the company that what we will do, we will associate with Rupa Goswami's heart, his personal feelings, which he reveals, not because he is talkative, because he wants to help us. When we read, when we have association with such souls in whose heart there is Bhava, true Krishna consciousness, the blessings are available to us. That is, our heart gets melted. It says in the Yoga Sutras, just by only thinking about someone who has conquered the six urges, one can also do so. If you notice this when you read Prabhupada Lilamrita or any other book of Prabhupada, and you associate with Prabhupada in this way, you say, I will also now do service. Okay, Mr. Temple President, I'm here. Well, I want to do service in the temple.
You?
Yes, me. I'm not dead yet. Well, what do you like to do then? You tell me. I want to be helpful to Prabhupada's movement. Have you noted such feelings arise by associating with someone who is fully immersed in Krishna consciousness? Have you noticed that when you took up Prabhupada's book after reading the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, I will be in my books, no? We will meet him, we will meet him there. How could I forget? It happens to me. I read every morning in the Bhagavatam. Here I don't have so much to do, but general of my life is every morning. Swami, you're 50 years in the movement. How did this point escape you? And you go, thank you, Prabhupada. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it does something to your mind because you associate with these great personalities. Rupa Goswami and these, they are not like, they are eternal. Nobody has gone anywhere. Everybody is here. All the great souls are still here. If your heart is pure, you can have even that darshan. Nobody has gone anywhere. Everybody is there. And it has been recorded that Rupa Goswami has given his darshan, like Robert speaks about this now. They give at least the help. The atmosphere is pregnant or impregnated with their prayers, with their sadhana, with everything. And you can feel it when you open your consciousness to it. So, by this company of these great souls, let us call them in Hindi Rasika Janas, or let us call them in ISKCON language, highly realized souls, no? Blessings are available to you. Your deepest moods are awakened. And more than anything, Krishna becomes attracted when you are in a company where you are with such devotees and hear about them and what they teach. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur speaks about this devotional company. He says, Krishna only reveals himself out of compassion. Nothing else. It's his compassion. And this compassion is aroused. It's awakened. It's rising when the Lord hears his devotees sing. At that time, it is aroused. Therefore, Rumi says, set your life on fire. Seek those who fan your flames. The Rupa, the Sufi language, now, set your life on fire. Seek those who can fan your flames. That's poesy. Rupa Goswami is specially called by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the Rasa Acharya, and he opens his way of thinking. What you will learn here is to be eager pastimes. You will no longer be able to avoid the question, who am I really? And you will also be taught in his work to offer services to Krishna, Narayan Krishna, in your mind. This is very wonderful things you will learn. Good. Hare Krishna. I looked at the wristwatch. I was much faster than I thought I am. So I'm for today finished, which is very good. We have still a little time, and I thought I would call for questions now. Usually I never do that. I have too much subject. Here's Nanda Dular with one question. Here is our senior devotee with one question. Please tell us your good name. Vajradai. Long distance seeing. It's a question, isn't it? Good. Yes. Okay. There is Gaurahari. And then there is Nomadji Madhaleshwari. Yes. So we will go in this order for now. I forgot who was first. Nanda Dular.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, thank you so much for this wonderful lecture. We've been hearing about the pleasure that one can get from performing spiritual activities. And with our mind, we can perceive pleasure coming in one way. And we can tend to think that also the pleasure or ecstasy might be the similar way. But I guess the quality of pleasure that we get from spiritual activities must be totally different. Is it the truth? Like, in the essence, it should be different. It's not like the pleasure that we perceive in the...
I understand. Thank you very much. It's very interesting. In Jaiva Dharma, there's a wonderful description about spiritual pleasure or emotions rising. What are these emotions? They are that you feel you should accept what is favorable for devotional service, and that you genuinely feel, I want to stop what is unfavorable for devotional service. That is something spiritual. That's a sign that something spiritual arises. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, and I have discussed this with Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, then it continues, you feel Krishna is my protector and my maintainer. Maybe when you were, I know that you went to India, to a wonderful temple in Pune, because you felt you could not make advancement in Europe any longer so easily. At that time you must also have felt, when you sat in the airport and you had no money, not much money for your family and your little child, oh, Krishna will protect. You might have felt anxiety, that's a material emotion. Oh, how will this work? Why did I do this? I'm so, it's an uncertain move. It's unsafe. And then you might have felt, oh, Krishna will protect and maintain. That is these are the signs that very slowly the voice of the soul begins to speak. And then there are two more. It is, you will actually feel you want to surrender to Krishna, your life, and you will long for this, you will yearn for it. And again, the soul has spoken, the spiritual emotion. And finally, you will also feel genuine humility. Now, I believe that most of the feelings of humility, which many times, feelings of humility which we find coming from a minority, from an inferiority complex. This is a psychologically induced humility, it's not spiritual. No, but we speak of the genuine humility now, which is spiritual, where you really feel in relationship with you are so good, great, and so wonderful, and I'm so small. Someone with genuine humility will feel, I'm a hopeless case, but I have all the hope because you're merciful. So these are the arising of spiritual emotions, which I believe are already in the experience of a sadhaka, sometimes at least. The six symptoms of surrender. Good. Who's the next devotee? Yes, that's a Raja Prabhu. We have a microphone for you, but you have a... Yes. No, you need to be infected. Yes. You need to be with someone who carries eagerness and then it jumps. And jumps over. It's... Again, let me clarify my use of language. I know COVID, I know about everything regarding the subject. I had it twice even, so I'm very protected. I know about dengue. I have not experienced, but I know that the Delhi hospitals are full with this. It comes from a mosquito who carries the virus and bites you, and then it gets into the bloodstream, and so on. These are examples of powerful things like diseases that have that begin to ruin people's lives, you know, their organs and so on, which come by the process of infection. In spiritual life, we also have this, but it's not an infection that is dangerous, it's a good infection. It is carried, it comes from being with good devotees. And also, believe it or not, it comes from performing Panchanga Bhakti. It is carried, but especially I want to stress here association with devotees, like we will do now. We will hopefully get a little of Rupa Goswami, what he wants to give in this Rasa Shastra, which we will study a little bit. But what I take away from our retreat, which I need to put more attention to, is what we need again here in the work, in this work. Prayer. My Prabhupada, he said it so encouragingly in this morning work. Krishna, I lack the strength. I try, but I fail. Please give me the necessary strength. Unfortunately, we start to pray only like this when we are really on the anvil of material existence. Bang! The sledgehammer has again... You know, blacksmith has an anvil. Do you understand anvil? If you like the sweet German word for it, amboss. Anvil. And the material nature takes... And therefore, material nature for doing this is also said to have mercy. It's the Maya Mayi Karuna. You it's not direct mercy from Krishna, it's indirect mercy. Material nature takes some of us on the anvil. I can see in the spiritual movement that happens also. Wonderful devotees that brought into the anvil, so that they can call out for Krishna. That is one explanation. Anyways, let me not go there. It's complex, this situation. I will retract this. I did not think deeply about it. I want to say, sometimes the conditioned soul gets banked on the anvil and then can call out to Krishna. But the point is, call out to Krishna. And this whole work is calling out to Krishna. The next work is from Stavamali. This is Stavamala. Yes, Govinda Virudavali. There you will hear Rupa Goswami calling out Krishna, Govinda, Mukunda, and so on, calling out. It's really bringing your entire self to the process and then the work. Thank you. There's the next devotee.
Thank you. I had some thoughts on this overcoming the stagnation you were mentioning about getting ourselves out of the center and putting Krishna more in the center. I notice in most of the spiritual activities I'm doing, most of the time I still manage to put myself in the center. Do you have any step-by-step way of getting out of the center or where to start?
I forgot one more. taking yourself out of that. There's a great devotee who tried to move on his own steam. He became a poet and he wrote a poem which says like this: I can't understand the people who say that Krishna leaves Vrindavan to go to the pastures. For me, Krishna is always there, because my consciousness is Syam Ranga. It has been colored with Syam. So this song, beautiful song, it's a longer song, but this is the essence of the song, came into the hands of the devotees in Vrindavan, and they started to sing it. Like many songs here in the air, maybe we will hear some of these Vrindavan songs, maybe. So it made it, it became a song which the sadhus sang. So one day, Rupa Goswami came down the steps, I heard, of the Govindaji temple, and he saw a sadhu singing this: I can't understand what you say, that Krishna leaves Vrindavan. He's always in my consciousness, because I am my consciousness is colored by Syam. Jiva Goswami stopped and said, who wrote this song? Oh, I don't know, I said, the sadhu came from here, from outside. I heard it is sung, it's composed by one devotee called Gadadhar Bhatta. God said, Jiva Goswami. And he wrote a four-line letter. And he gave it to some messengers and said, you find this Gadadhar Bhatta. But it was not easy. They had to go all over. There was no one. No one had an idea where he lived. So they came to the village in Madhya Pradesh. Maybe it's Uttar Pradesh, because really not Vrindavan, outside Vrindavan. And they looked for, I think, for half a year without success. So they came
to this village eventually, and Vansadu was just taking a Bali bath, Bali snap. Do you know what this is? You see this in brush there at the wells. You take the bucket out, and then near the well, you take the bucket, and you somehow take a bucket bath. By the way, I highly recommend it that you shower here from your buckets, because do you know every drop which we have in the Govardhana Retreat Center comes from our own sweet water well 2 kilometers away from here. We have to bring it through a pumping system. So water is very precious and very good here. And when you put the shower on, you take more water than, much more water than if you take a body bucket, you know. Let it go in the bucket, and then you can chant Hare Krishna while you do this. You can think of things. And you can sit on your little shower chair and think about life. It is very poetic, the body bucket. And it spares and saves a lot of water. Anyways, so we are not talking here about showering. So the Gadata, this person did it. And the messenger is already a little tired. Said, do you know, is anyone here who is Gadata? And the sadhu said, why do you want to know? Well, we have a letter from Vrindavan. Who has written? Jiva Goswami. Oh my Gadara Bhatta, give me the letter. So he opened the letter, he read the 4 lines, and he fainted. And when he had finished awoke from his fainting spell. The way I heard it from Indrajana Maharaj, he immediately ran to Vrindavan, that means with a dripping wet yamsha. Or maybe he has changed into something, but he immediately went to Vrindavan. Would you like to hear what was in the letter? It said, it was a verse composed by Raghunath Das Goswami, and it said, how can anyone taste the Syam Rasa, that is the devotional feelings that go on between Syam and Radharani and the servants? How can anyone taste this without having been blessed with the dust from Radharani's lotus feet, or without having walked through the pathways of Vrindavan where Radha walked, or without having talked with her devotees who are very dear? How can anyone say my consciousness is, in other words, what Jiva Goswami said, you said your consciousness is colored with Syam, Syam Ranga. It is not possible, because you're not in Vrindavan. You have not, from your composition I can understand, you have not considered Radha, the dust from her lotus feet. You have not considered walking in Vrindavan to a pilgrimage. You have not talked with devotees. So this is really the medicine, Gaurahari, to take shelter in Vrindavan, and so many good things will come to you. So many good things. My dear devotees, Krishna consciousness is an effect transgressional. Yes, there is a lot of ratio which comes after, but ecstasy is not
that's not a rational feeling. But becoming blessed by the Bhakti Shakti is not something which goes on. You can explain it rationally, but it's something which is beyond the mind. It is something which happens to you when you are in the right place. And the scriptures again and again state, we must listen. We must listen from devotees. See, when you listen from the small devotees, the little downpour of nectar happens, so that the outside of your heart gets purified and you get some new informations. But if you listen from realized devotees, and like the Rasacharya Rupa Goswami and his Rupanuga followers like Srila Prabhupada, and there's such a downpour that your heart turns upside down. That is, you're no longer thinking, I'm in the center, Krishna's in the center, and your heart gets filled with the nectar of Krishna consciousness. This turning around from I am in the center to Krishna in the center is necessary to correct the Viparyaya Smriti. Do you recognize this term? Maybe not immediately, but in the 11th canto it says that the condition sought by Yam Dviti Nivesha Dharasya comes in the word and is overwhelmed with fear, Gorari, fear, and then his intelligence becomes Viparyaya Smriti. And all of a sudden you are in the center, you're not Krishna. So you must hear from these great souls with an open heart. And then your little cup is not just washed with some nice sentiments, some nice mental new ideas. The downpour works and it is changed. Thank you very much. Now we will go. Let us go to Mandaleshwari, and then we need to stop because.
Thank you so very much, Guru Maharaj, for taking this lecture and important things to us. My question is: eagerness is very important, but then we hear that when you are chanting, we must hear and focus on your own voice. What to do when mind become eager to, during the chanting, to save for the divine, to put us and flower and cooking and, you know, it's just, what should we do with this?
During the chanting?
During the chanting, yes.
We have a whole section on this. It's performed service in your mind, like Nishinga. Like the Brahmana in Nectar of Devotion, who built a temple and offered things in the mind. Or like in Chaitanya Charitamrita Nishinga, Nandadas Brahmachari. So, because this is a very important thing, we need to give it the full attention. Otherwise, it is only half dealt with, and we do not derive the full benefit. But as an answer, it is natural that during chanting, desires to do service come up. These desires could be due to restlessness, as it is mostly the case. Then you write them down. But they could be also due to genuine spiritual inspiration. And then we will talk about this. Mostly it's restlessness, and let us give a correct word, it's masked or disguised restlessness. But there is also the other, that you three desires awaken, that is, you want to be close to Krishna, you want to please Krishna, and you want to.
You want to please Krishna by his three desires.
You want to be close to Krishna, and you want to serve Krishna, and yes, and you want to please him, not just any service. It's interesting that these services often, which come when it comes to the spiritual life, have come in three divisions. One is the devotee wants to sing for Krishna. Maybe you have seen that when japa goes really good, you stop and you look, is anyone around? No, God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That is, you want to sing. But in the very advanced stages, you want to even take instruments to accompany yourself. Then as the next thing, it is, you want to give enjoyment to Krishna. Cooking. But there are other ways to give enjoyment to Krishna. And you want to dress Krishna. Shringa, decorate, ornament. And there are various ways that starts here and it can go there. So, good. We have now arrived at an end. I would like to just close the session now by you joining please to Giriraj, and we will just sing for exactly 3 minutes something.
Rama, Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Everybody sing one more time again, all together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. A little louder if possible. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna, I thank you very much. I felt my example was maybe not so clear, but since it's so important, because we want this transformation, when we hear from ordinary devotees, the outside of our heart is purified, no? It is. But deep inside, there still may be this ahammameti ruling very strongly. So when we hear consistently and we hear such texts as today, then there is a chance that there is a downpour of nectar which has the effect to turn our heart around and wash the inside of our heart from this dangerous ahammameti concept, I and mine, where we place ourselves in the center. Thank you. The second is, we have now cooked with our love and devotion and offered to Giriraj a wonderful meal. You have a little time to still sit, maybe chant Gayatri, but we will start serving in 20 minutes or so, in Giriraj Dining Hall. Oh, this is such a good name, Giriraj Dining Hall. And I request you to pace yourself carefully, because we want to continue with very first class Bhagavatam based Krishna Katha with many deep insights by Bhurijan Prabhu at 4 o'clock. In the Kirtan Stali. So you can do everything very easily in good time. So Hare Krishna, all the best for you. See you tomorrow, same place, same time.